Turn, if you will, today in your Bibles to Luke 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19:41-44. The Word of God says, "Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from you, your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you." Look what it says: "And level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. God, we ask now that you speak through the word to our hearts. And Lord, let us be willing to open our hearts to hear your word. And God will give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You ever hear the old saying, what you don't know can't hurt you? Well, that's not right. That's not right. What you don't know can hurt you. And that's what Jesus says right here. He wants to remind you, look what it says, saying, if you had known, and in verse 44, because you did not know. So Jesus is saying, what you don't know can hurt you. And folks, that's what I want to talk about this morning. You know, I read an article. I love the Civil War stories, study of the Civil War. Back in the Civil War, more people died from malaria, more people died from uncleanliness than they did the bullet. I read that 620,000 men in the Civil War died by disease instead of the bullet. About 3 out of every 5 died of disease in the Union Army, and about 2 out of 3 died in the Confederate Army because they didn't understand that if you washed your hands, they didn't have enough water to wash their hands, the surgeons, when they were doing operations on the men. So they went for days without washing their hands or the instrument, and disease and germs were just passed from one man to the other, and many died. Heard about one man had to have his thumb, he shot in the thumb and had to have it removed, and caught an infection, ended up killing him. Today we think that might be silly. We treat in a different way. But due to the uncleanliness, many of them died. So what we don't know can hurt us today. I had a great uncle that fought in the war there, and he sent home this letter from the Civil War. And the battle of, many of you may have been there up in Arkansas, Battle of Pea Ridge. There was a stream there, a fountain there that many of the soldiers drank out of, and malaria set in. He writes home about the malaria that had spread through the camp and was killing many of the men because they didn't know about malaria. And Jesus says, if thou hadst known, it would be different. In verse 41, we see Jesus knew drew near the city of Jerusalem. They were having a feast. Jerusalem was celebrating a party, having a great time in their life, and they were in a time of celebration. But Jesus says, the Bible says, while they were celebrating, that Jesus wept. Jesus wept over the city. And that word wept literally means he burst into tears because of the people, because of the city of Jerusalem. Below, they were having a party or a fellowship. And above, on the mountain, as he looked over at the city, he literally cried and wept over the city. Why? Why would he be weeping when the celebration and a feast is going on? Simply because, he says, you don't know me as the Messiah. And that was significant in their rejection of the Savior. They failed to understand that he was their peace. They wanted peace. They prayed for peace. But they rejected Christ, and Christ was their peace. And he describes about the future of the city. They would be captured, and the destruction of the temple, and the ages of suffering of the Jewish people. No wonder Jesus cried. When he saw the future and saw the city and saw the beloved Jerusalem and the Jewish people, what they were going to go through. And he said, you didn't understand. You didn't understand that I was the Savior. And it's significant to know Christ as the risen Savior. Now, three things I want you to look at and glean with me out of this passage of Scripture here. Three things in which, if we lack knowledge of these things, they can hurt us. Now, I want you to notice, one, our understanding of God's way. If you don't understand God's way, then you've got a problem. God's way of what? One, God's way of salvation. If you don't understand God's way of salvation, then that can hurt you. You see, salvation is very important that we understand it. Now, you don't get it 50% right. You don't get it 75% right or 99% right. When it comes to salvation, friends, we better get it 100% right. You see, a false understanding of salvation leads to some serious consequences in our life. You see, we must understand salvation God's way. It depends on being correct in life. You see, heaven and hell depend on you getting salvation right. You see, if you don't get salvation right, folks, you're in a lot of trouble. You're in a serious amount of trouble. In the recent years, the teaching on hell has just, we've tucked it away and put it up on a closet somewhere, and we don't like to talk about hell. How many times have you gone and heard a sermon on hell besides here? You probably won't, because everybody today wants to preach where you will feel good when you leave here, and you know that's all right. I hope you feel good when you leave here, but I want to tell you about what the Bible says about hell. You see, hell is rarely preached from our pulpits. It's no longer popular to preach on hell. But it is, if you're lost, you need to know about heaven. You need to know about hell. And a growing number of Christians are even questioning whether there's a hell or not. Friends, the Bible says there's a hell. And whether a number of Christians don't believe in it doesn't mean they're right. Just because people don't like to hear about the subject of hell, and because there's a silence in the pulpits about hell, it doesn't change the Bible teachings on hell. The Bible simply says there is a hell, and every one of us who steps into eternity without Christ or lost or without being born again will go there to hell. And you will spend an eternity there in hell. You see, the Catholic Church, and I don't want to talk about any denomination, so I'll add the Baptists in here in just a minute. The Catholic Church, they've come up with a purgatory. That's a place you can just go to, and if you'll pay the preacher enough, maybe he'll pray you out of there. I'll do that for you right here. But let me tell you, I can't get you into heaven. I can't do that. So you know what? Liberals come up with this. liberals come up with this, well, it's not a literal place. It's just a symbol. Well, let me tell you what. If the Bible talks about a symbol of hell being hot where the worm dieth not, you read over about the rich man who died and went to hell, his third, that's just a symbol. I don't even want to go there for the symbol of it. And universalists, they upgrade it to, well, sooner or later, eventually, everyone will be cleansed and everyone will be accepted into heaven. I don't read that in the Bible anywhere. Jesus says there is a hell. And Jesus says those without Christ go to that place of hell. Because of hell, people are lost there, and the consequences of a false understanding of salvation can lead people to that place called hell. People say today, well, you know, preacher, I believe one day, I've heard somebody say, I believe one day that we'll all get there. Well, I want to know what the Bible says. I've heard you got to be politically correct today. Well, I don't care about being politically correct. I want to be biblically correct, folks. I got a letter just a few days ago. It was unsigned, and I'm glad they didn't sign it. I'd hate to know that they would have signed something like that. But I offended somebody in our service here, and you may be the one I offended. Said I shouldn't say Christians should live different from the world. You know, I thought we were to live different from the world. That's your problem if you're here. Folks, we are different from the world. The Bible says we're in the world, but we're not of this world. And, you know, I hate that the Bible offended you when it says that. I thought as a Christian, we should be different. When we go outside those doors, we ought to still be different. You come in here and you want to live one way and you want to go out there and live another, you're leading people to hell. You see? And I'm not going to apologize to you for saying that. You know, that's what I'm called to do, is to try to turn people around by the Word of God. The Bible says, listen to what Jesus says, it's better for you to have a millstone put around your neck and be cast into the sea, then cause a little one to stumble. And it's not talking about a baby. It's talking about young Christians. You see? Or someone that hasn't grown into the Word. It's better for you to be thrown into the sea and get rid of your testimony than to drag somebody into hell, folks. When it comes to salvation, I cannot worry about being politically correct. Or I'm not going to dance around all the edges of the Bible either, because the consequences of dying lost are too great for me to spend my time studying the Word of God to give you a feel-good gospel. It's just not worth the time. And it wouldn't be worth your time to come up here and spend hours on a Sunday if you're not going to hear the Word of God. Hey, if we're not going to preach the Word of God, we might as well go fishing. Amen? Because I'm out of a job and you are too. We might as well go enjoy our Sundays if we're not going to preach the Word and teach the Word and learn about Jesus Christ and grow. So listen, when it comes to salvation, you better get it right. And Jesus says there is a hell, whether it's popular opinion to believe it or not. I know what the Bible says, and I want to know what the Bible says. Listen to Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. I think Teddy just read that a while ago, didn't you? Or said something like it. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, there's no other name. There's not anything. Jesus says, listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says salvation is through Jesus Christ. Well, preacher, I've heard this. Well, preacher, I know. You know, it doesn't matter what you believe. We're all end up in the same place. I know You Baptists have your way. The Protestants have their way. The Catholics have their way. The Muslims have their way. The Jews have their way. But that's not what's going to get you to heaven. You've got to have it God's way. Listen, I don't care if the Baptists have their way or not. If it's not God's way, there's going to be a bunch of Baptists awfully disappointed. You see, unless a Protestant comes by the way of Jesus, he's going to spend an eternity in a place called hell. Unless a Muslim comes by the way of Jesus, that Muslim's going to spend his way into hell. If Catholics don't come by the way of Jesus, then they will spend their way in hell. If Jews don't come by the way of Jesus, and I'll probably just offended a bunch of people, they're going to have their way to hell. You see, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other time or way but me. You see, the Bible says he is the way. And let me tell you something. All roads do not lead to heaven. Amen. The Bible says there's only two roads. One leading to hell, one leading to heaven. We heard a good sermon on that during the convention. There's two roads. The Bible says there's two gates. One to destruction, one to eternal life. There's two foundations. Man, that's good preaching. The solid foundation in Jesus Christ or the sand. You see, we've got to build our life on the right road, on the right person. So what you don't know can hurt you. And you better be sure you know God's way of salvation. Understand, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, there's something else that can hurt you if you don't know. It's understanding God's word. Well, you know, I hear a lot of people today say, you know, that we need to learn to get along as denominations with each other. And you know what? Let me tell you something. I am the get along type person. I like to get along with people. I like to get along with you. I get along with my deacons. I try to get along with my children. I try to get along with my wife. I try to get along with all different denominations. I love to get along. You see? I don't think if you looked all over Gunbarrel, you could find another person that likes to get along any better than me. I don't like trouble. I don't like squabbles. You see? But let me tell you something. I don't want to get along at doctrinal expense. You see, you can get along. Now, doctrine forms the basis of our beliefs. Let me listen to me now. Be careful. Don't go out there and say something I didn't say. Doctrine forms the basis of our beliefs. And I believe it is essential to get your doctrine right. You don't understand that it's important for a person to have the proper understanding, and that's what we talk about when we talk about doctrine. You just ask the followers of, let me see, David Koresh. Think about that. Well, all roads lead to heaven. No, they don't, do they? Think about that. How about being a follower of Jim Jones? Some of these young people don't remember that. The Bible says you need to rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this. Look at it on the board up here. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That simply means you need to know how to properly, accurately handle the scripture when it comes to understanding the word of God. And the reason we have so many off-the-wall movements in our country is that the Bible is not being rightly divided. And let me tell you something. Popularity doesn't mean that guy is following Jesus. Uh-huh. Okay, there's a lot of big, I won't call any names because That makes people mad too. But there's a lot of big football fields down in Houston full of people. And the word, I don't believe, is being rightly divided. Now, I didn't mention nobody's name, so I'm politically correct there. You've got to rightly discern God's word also. Now, I mentioned Jim Jones a while ago. You remember back in the 70s, he had over 900 followers get together and commit suicide together in Guyana. And everybody said, well, how in the world could that happen? How come 900 people would go along with this guy? That was the question, amen? Everybody asked the same question. Preacher, how could that happen? Why did they do that? Well, let me tell you something. It was the result of people being wrongly taught what the scriptures say. And listen to this. Blindly following and accepting an interpretation of somebody else without even checking with God. That's how people do things like that. The word is not rightly divided and the word is not rightly discerned. Hey, listen, when I preach, I want you to go home. I want you to turn in your Bibles and I want you to look at that word with me and say, well, does it say that? Yep. Well, if it says that and God said it, you're all right. If I say something that the Bible doesn't say, then you might be blindly following me. I don't want you to do that. It's important that you rightly discern God's word. And the reason so many people get pulled, I remember another one, that the comet Kebab and all them people laid up under beds and died. You know, why? Because wasted their lives because of somebody's false teaching. And that's the reason so many people get sucked into these cults, is that they're blindly following somebody that's not biblically sound. And folks, let me tell you, there's not only people, there's all kinds of cults. And some of them got cults out there that got church names to them. You better be, you just don't go to one church. I believe I'll join this church because they got the right kind of music over there. You don't do that. Music ain't going to get you to heaven. You better be sure that church is doctrinally sound. If I was going to join a church, I would want to know what that church believes, what that church teaches, and what the preacher preaches. You see? I want to know that when I'm in a body of Christ, that I'm on my way to heaven on the right road. Any organization that is not true in its teaching of the Word of God, you ought to avoid it like a plague, friend. Now, just don't go out there and join some church. I hope y'all stay here. But if you get mad at me and you decide to go join another church, then make sure it's at least biblically correct. You see? Friends, if you don't understand the Bible correctly, it leaves you weak spiritually. And when you're weak spiritually, the devil's going to come in and he's going to get you to believe just about anything. Because the devil is very tricky. And people say, oh, the devil wouldn't, you know, the Lord wouldn't let the devil do that. Well, the devil does that. And I have people all the time that come back to the church or say, well, preacher, we got out there, you know, they were doing this. Well, the world is out there, folks. And if you want somebody to soothe your conscience about the way you live, then, friends, they're out there to soothe your conscience. Because the Bible says, when in the end days, men will love the tickling of the ear. A feel-good gospel. Yep, I say, you know, we shouldn't drink. Somebody said, we're drinking not going to send you to hell. No, but it sure ruins your testimony. I don't see it anywhere in the Bible that we are to drink and run our testimony. Folks, and people get mad at me for preaching on drinking. I don't think you ought to smoke either. You know, smoking causes cancer. Smoking destroys the temple. I don't think you're going to ought to be overeating either. You see, I believe there's something wrong in everything. Now, I didn't say smoking was going to send you to hell. I didn't say drinking is going to send you to hell. But it ruins your testimony. You see? And that's what I want you to understand. You don't do these things because it ruins the testimony and leads others to doing that. You see, somebody told me, well, preacher, I drink in our house. We have alcohol. Well, let me tell you something. That might be all right for you, but if your child's out there drinking and they get killed in a car wreck, their blood's going to be on your hands. Don't come crying and saying, I don't understand why they would do that. I do. Because they see their parents doing it and they do it. That's tough, isn't it? But it's happened a lot of times. And, you know, we've got to live above. You know, I know we're sinners, saved by grace. We all stumble. We all sin. But, folks, you don't have to get out and waller in it. Amen. You know, let Jesus pick you back up and say, hey, there's something better. Your marriage. You know, make your marriage strong. You don't make a good marriage going out to a honky-tonk on Friday night and drinking with other boys and stuff. Yeah, that just don't work. Let me tell you, if you want a strong marriage, you work at it. You have to work at it because the devil's working at tearing it down. Man, rightly discern God's word, rightly divide God's word. Now, not only you understand, if you don't understand God's way of salvation, that can hurt you. And if you don't understand God's word correctly, that can hurt you. That's two things that can hurt you. The last thing is you've got to understand God's will. If you don't understand God's will, that also can hurt you. Now, I'm going to tell you how it can hurt you. Well, if you don't understand God's will, you're not really going to be happy. And God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be a happy Christian. I believe that with all my heart. Now, I've said for many years that most Christians don't know God's will for their life. And if you don't know God's will for your life, it can hurt you. Now, I can't tell you God's will for your life. The only one that knows God's will for your life is God. And if you seek God in your life, He will show you. You know, God's not out there trying to hide His will from you. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be the best Christian you can be. Ephesians tells us that. Ephesians chapter 5, I believe it was, 5:17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, that just simply, don't be ignorant about God's will. You need to understand what God's will is for your life. Now, I don't believe God's hiding that will from us. If He says you can understand God's will, surely He wants you to know God's will. Look at Ephesians 6. Undertaking God's will says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, folks, it's not just a matter of knowing God's will. It's also doing God's will. When you know God's will for your life, and let me tell you how you know God's will for your life. You ask Him. You ask God, say, Lord, I know You've got something for me to do as Your child. You pick up the Word of God. You know that this is His Word. Somebody told me, said, well, preacher, somebody told me that this was God's will for my life. Well, let me tell you something. God will let you know, not somebody else. Amen. God wants you to know. And you pick up the Word of God and you get into the Word of God and you say, Lord, I want to know Your will for my life. And you pray about what God is leading you to do. And when you get a peace in your heart, then you do it. I had a great preacher friend of mine when I was called to preach. I'm going to tell you about my call to preach. You've heard it many times probably, but let me tell you. When I was called to preach, I was in North Dakota, and I was in a constant wondering, what am I to do? 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 First, he told me, he said, Booney, you need to pray about it. And you need to surrender to whatever God wants you to do. Just say, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do, but whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Be open to doing whatever God wants me to do. So you see, a lot of us want to do God's will, but we want to know what it is first. And that's not the way it works. So you say, Lord, I want to know your will, and whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And then he gave me some wisdom about, he said, you feel like God's leading you to preach? I said, I don't know. I wasn't very biblically sound, I don't suppose, at that time. But he said, let me tell you some advice. If you can do whatever you're doing right now and be happy at it, then you do it. But if you're called to preach and that's all you can do, then you better surrender to preach. And you know what? I wasn't happy at doing nothing but preaching. That's how you know. When you come to that decision in the Bible, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. Maybe it's teach a class. We're not all preachers. Maybe it's to be a missionary. Whatever God wants you to do, maybe just to be a on-fire worker in the church. We need a lot of on-fire workers. Maybe to attend Bible study, read the Word, help people. You know, a lot of people need help. You may have the gift of helps. You may be Lord made you where you could mow yards prettier, work on automobiles or whatever. Some widow woman needs a car fixed. Well, you know, you can do that. Use your hands. That's all right. Whatever it is, bless God with it. You know, even if it's out there working, digging ditches somewhere, if you're happy at that and, you know, you're using that for God's glory, then do it. By all means, do it. But you know what? I couldn't do anything but preach and be happy. God just turned off what I was doing. And I was miserable. And I knew, Lord, I've got to preach. I've got to pastor a church. And it didn't come overnight. Matter of fact, it was over 6 years later that I came here. But I've been happy for the last 26 years or 27 years. Whatever it is, I've lost count. How long have I been here? It's been a long time. I know I've watched my children grow up. I've watched your children grow up. And you know, that's how you know God's will. That perfect peace will be in your life. Oh, the happiest Christians are those who know God's will and do God's will. You see, they have the peace of God flowing in their life because Christ is right there in the center of that life. Now, I'll close with this. Many people are missing out on the blessings of God because they're not doing God's will in their life. So, when somebody says, well, what you don't know won't hurt you, you can say, let me tell you something. It can. Because if you don't know God's way of salvation, you can be lost for all eternity. If you don't know the Scriptures and the doctrine of God, you can be led astray. And if you don't know God's will for your life, you're missing out on God's blessings for you. Those things we need to know this morning. Now, if you've never been saved, Jesus says, it's my desire that you come to be saved. I wish that none should perish, but have all have eternal life. That means you. Whosoever will may come. That means you. If you're sitting here this morning, you're saying, well, I've never received the gift of salvation. Then you say, well, I don't know if God wants me to be saved. Yes, he does. Whosoever will may come. That's you. All you have to do is come, simply by faith. Well, I don't know enough of the Scriptures yet to be saved. All you need to know is you're lost, and you need Christ. He'll fill in all the gaps for you. If you're a Christian, and you're not doing what God wants you to do, you're living in the world. You're not reading your Bible. You're not enjoying the blessings of God. Listen, You need to come and just get your life right with God. You don't have to come to me. All you need to do is come to the altar and say, listen, Lord, I want to do your will. I want to be blessed. I want to start working in the church. I want to live above the world's way. And God will say, pick you up, you know, set you on that rock and get you going again. I guarantee you, if you want to, he will. Maybe you're looking for a church home. This is the place God's led you. I'll tell you what, you will be doctrinally fed here. Brother Jay teaches a Bible study Tuesday. I tell you what, I know he's sound. He'll feed you there if you want to come study there. You'll get fed in your Sunday school classes, I guarantee you. We're not going to have teachers not teaching the Word. And I think a lot of them teach right out of the Bible. So, you know, whatever. You come. And in here, I'm going to preach the Word. I've said this many times. I'm going to preach the Word here, even if it hair-lips the governor. You know? I think our governor would like it. Let's stand to be dismissed and give an invitation. If you need to come, would you come? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for these that are here. God, we just pray that you'll bless us today. If someone needs to make a decision today, Lord, let them make that decision at this time. We give you all the glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.